It's a world where Batman is a terrorist.
The Chris Nolan trilogy.
Nope. And Harley Quinn fights with the good guys.
I don't think that's true.
And Superman rules the Earth.
What?
Yeah, that's right. I am talking about the Injustice universe today because your geek history lesson on Injustice Gods Among Us is in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Jason the Regime Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or evil video game from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about it in about an hour. And today we are talking about none other than who, Jason?
We are talking about Injustice, the Injustice Gods Among Us universe. We're going to be talking about the video game. We're going to be talking about the prequel digital DC comic books of the video game. But we're going to explain a little bit of that. Because Injustice 2 is out in the world and it's time to button mash as your favorite characters in the DC universe. And really quickly, before we jump into this podcast, if you have any problems with this podcast, things you like, you can always find me on Twitter at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. You can find Ashley on Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson. And then you can always tweet directly to the podcast on Twitter, which is what, Ashley?
At GHL Podcast.
Very simply. So if you want to complain about why is Superman crazy, that is the place to do it. All right, so let's jump straight into the 10 Cent origin.
Which is the first part of the podcast where we tell you all the basic constructs, creators, power sets, everything you need to know about Injustice in case you go to a cool cocktail party and someone says, hey, what's up with that video game?
Which could happen. Injustice actually held a couple of them. So, of course, this game was developed by NetherRealm Studios. It was published by Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment. It was distributed by DC Comics and directed by Ed Boon. It was written by Brian Char, Dominic Cianciolo, John Vogel, and John Greenberg. And, of course, the music was all composed by Christopher Drake. If you do not know that name,
I love Christopher Drake.
He's an awesome dude who composes a lot of the music for the DC animated films. So, this, of course, the first game was released April 16th. 16th, 2013, and we're only going to be covering, again, like I said, the digital prequel comic series and Injustice number one, because Injustice 2 has just come out and we don't want to give away spoilers.
It is almost as old as this very podcast.
Yeah. Now, really quickly, this is also involved with the Tencent Origin. The DC digital comic series that is going to be the main basis of this series was first written by Tom Taylor, and it was illustrated by a number of artists because that book leads up to Injustice, the Injustice 1 video game, and it was full of cool things. I don't know. It was 5 years of comic books. What do you want?
Yeah.
And we're talking about all of them.
Yeah.
But before we get to the meet cute, let's check out one of our sponsors that helps keep this show as free entertainment. So, Ashley, you know we like to teach about characters and pop culture,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to teach you a little bit today about today's sponsor, Dollar Shave Club.
Mm, now, teach me.
I will. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to teach you about a great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered to your front door. Now, Ashley, you couldn't ask for more convenience even if you had a transporter or a replicator from Star Trek directly in your house.
That's pretty convenient.
Now, it's actually a really great life hack, and because I want to fill my brain with knowledge of how hard Superman punches Batman, I don't want to fill my brain with, when do I gotta buy my next razor? I'd rather talk about Superman and Batman.
Oh, for sure.
Also, Dollar Shave Club also offers a Dr. Carver shave butter, which is actually pretty nice. And it's very smooth, and I use it myself. You too can make the smarter choice by joining Dollar Shave Club. For a limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and after that, razors are just a few bucks a month. Now, there are no hidden fees. There are no commitments. There's no Dollar Shave Club supervillain that's going to show up on your door and be like, give me back my razors. So you can cancel at any time you like. All you have to do is join the club today at dollarshaveclub.com/lesson. That's L-E-S-S-O-N. That's dollarshaveclub.com/lesson. All right, and now let's hop straight into the meet cute.
And the meet cute is the part of the podcast that we stole from romantic comedy writing where we tell you where we first meted all of these peoples and how cute it was.
All right, so this is a video game and also a digital series. Ashley, this is going to be pretty easy. Where did you first watch Injustice? When did you first play Injustice? Did you have a favorite character? Let's go down that route.
When you got it.
Okay.
That's when I first heard of Injustice.
Which would have been the year that it came out, 2013.
I'm not much of a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've played it once
mm-hmm.
when it first came out
mm-hmm.
with you. My favorite character is Aquaman because I really like the attack where you drop a shark on people.
Yeah.
I think that is like peak awesome video game and nothing about the game is better than that to me.
Nice.
Because I'm shallow. How about you? Where did you first meet and cute?
Well, I bought Injustice the day it came out. I pre-ordered it, mm-hmm. Injustice Gods Among Us. And I had a party night the night that I bought it because I was so excited for this video game because I could not believe it. I remember when I played this video game, I was blown away when Superman's super move is that he knocked the character into orbit. You saw the moon, and then he flew into orbit, grabbed you, and then threw you back at the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd never seen a video game like that. It's like the best representation of Superman's powers ever in a video game. And it blew me away. Like Aquaman, all these characters really, really blew me away. So, yeah, that's where I first met the Injustices and the Justices.
There you go. I feel like most of what I remember about it was that there was maybe some doubt about whether or not it was going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was some big doubt.
Everyone
yeah.
freaking loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it got picked up and it got popular so fast. Like, I remember the reaction.
Yep.
And then at the same time, because Digital First series from the Big Two can be touch and go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working in a shop at the time and people loved the Digital First series as well. So I feel like, you know, Injustice as a brand took two things that people maybe had some concerns about.
Fighting games.
And did an excellent job
yep.
at
and
both.
And Digital Series,
which
yeah.
was really cool.
Great. So let's jump right into the History 101 of Injustice.
The main meat of the lesson where Professor Jason is going to teach us absolutely everything that there is to know about Injustice stuff.
All right. So first, we are going to cover the Injustice Gods Among Us comic book, which covered the 5 years up until the first game. And then we're going to talk about the game.
Oh, we're going chronological.
Yes.
I
but first, real quick, just to give you an idea, in case you don't have any idea what Injustice is about, I am going to give you a very, very basic synopsis of the game.
Sure, sure.
In case you're kind of curious, you're kind of thinking about jumping in Injustice 2 first.
Okay.
So the synopsis of the first game is, this is a storyline that is set within an alternate version of the Justice League's universe. In this reality, Superman becomes a tyrant and establishes a new world order. In an effort to stop this, Batman summons counterparts of the League's members from another universe, including his own counterpart and Superman's counterpart, to join his insurgency and end Superman's regime.
Ooh.
Yes. I've had some people talk about that Injustice is kind of the crime syndicate Earth?
I mean, it's an obvious comparison to make.
What is the crime syndicate, Ashley?
The crime syndicate is the Justice League of Earth 3, except they're all bad guys.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people have made that comparison that basically this is this is Earth 3, but they knew that, you know, putting Ultraman, who is the evil version of Superman.
Nobody knows. Well, people know who Ultraman is,
nobody
but
knows
not,
who that
not
is.
In the same way as Superman.
Yeah. All right. So let's drop into this. Now, note, some of these plot points in the comic book might be a little weird. Well, that's because Tom Taylor, the writer, had to make sense of certain plot points that were already cemented in the game. Now, he was
sure.
writing various years of this comic. This comic book went for 5 years after the game had already been out for a couple years. So no matter what, he was kind of stuck with his feet in certain plot points in the cement. So sometimes this story will take some weird turns. And it's only because they wanted to set up this cool twist.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're
in the
Italian.
Video game. So, all right. So let's drop into year one of the Injustice universe, which is actually 5 years prior to the video game.
Okay, I'm ready for negative year five.
Just the book itself is called Injustice Gods Among Us Year
I'm
One.
Just teasing,
that's
yes.
what we're sticking with.
Yeah, yeah,
do
yeah.
not make this more confusing than it already is. All right. Superman, who is married to Lois Lane in this version of the DC Universe, learns that Lois is pregnant and reacts with a mixture of excitement and fear. However, a news tip leads Lois and Jimmy Olsen to the Metropolis docks, where they're ambushed by Joker and Harley Quinn. And Joker immediately shoots and kills Jimmy Olsen.
Wow.
So right out of the gate, you can see what type of story this is. Superman discovers Jimmy's body and the bloody playing card Joker left at the scene. And Superman frantically pleads for Batman's help, who calls in the entire Justice League to assist in the search. Now, Wonder Woman learns from a dock worker that Joker and Harley are hiding in a submarine, like you do if you're
like
a Batman villain.
Like you do, yeah, really.
Superman confronts the duo and is then dosed with toxic fear gas and then is suddenly attacked by what looks to be Doomsday. It's very hazy. Can't quite see who it is.
Sure.
Superman immediately begins battling Doomsday and carries Doomsday into space while Joker and Harley attempt to flee in their submarine, which Harley has named Gunter.
I like that. That's cute.
Harley Quinn, by the way, in the Injustice universe is an amazing character and gets a lot of character depth.
Nice.
But soon their submarine is apprehended by the Justice League. Batman discovers that Joker stole Scarecrow's fear toxin and laced it with kryptonite and then used it to infect Superman. Joker also reveals that he hit a nuclear warhead in the center of Metropolis, programming it to detonate once Lois Lane's heartbeat stops.
Mm.
In orbit, Superman realizes too late that he has been fear toxin brainwashed into attacking his own wife, who he thought was Doomsday.
Mm.
And as Lois and her unborn child both die in the vacuum of space, the warhead at the center of Metropolis detonates and destroys the city.
That's it's pretty dark.
This is the inciting incident of the Injustice universe. When you play the video game, you see this in the video game.
In flashbacks?
Yeah, and then it shows you a title screen and says 5 years later.
Cool.
Superman mourns Lois's death amid the ruins of Metropolis while the Justice League rescue survivors from outlying areas. Meanwhile, Batman interrogates Joker in a Gotham City prison. Joker reveals that he targeted Superman because he was tired of losing to Batman and wanted to play on easy mode for a while. It's a video game, Joe. Get it?
That's good.
Despite Green Lantern's efforts to stop him, Superman flies to the Gotham prison and punches Joker through the chest while the villain dies laughing.
Wow, that's epic.
Yep. Superman continues to mourn the loss of his family and city in the Fortress of Solitude, while news broadcasts of a civil war in the Middle Eastern country of Bialya compel him to intervene. Now, Superman rescues a group of civilians and kidnaps the Bialyan president. Wonder Woman convinces him to clean himself up and give a speech to the United Nations. And the following day, Superman announces his former civilian identity of Clark Kent to the world and delivers an ultimatum. All world governments must cease all wars and hostilities immediately, or Superman will stop them on the spot. Now, Ashley.
Yep.
From what you know about the character of Superman over our
162-ish
episodes, do you think this is an accurate representation of what the character of Superman might do?
In a, like, a post-Lois Lane
in
death society?
In a post, I accidentally beat Lois to death in my arms.
Maybe.
Okay.
I think it depends on the version of Superman. I think there are versions of Superman that would do this.
Can you clarify on the versions, you think?
I think that the new 52 version,
who's
sort of still in continuity, but like that angry, brasher, younger Superman, I think would do something like that, would react and go a little Batman. I think some of the Elseworlds Supermans might have reacted that way. Obviously, like a Red Sun era Superman, I think, would have no problem doing something like that. I think the current Superman, as he's standing in Rebirth continuity at this time, married to Lois, father of John, I don't think he would do this.
Got it.
But I don't feel like it's really super, out of character. I think it's an interesting exploration of what an all-powerful being might do when he grieves.
Cool. Now, Superman continues his worldwide crusade. A military leader convinces the president that steps need to be taken to rein in Superman, and a small squad led by the supervillain Mirror Master is sent to kidnap Superman's adoptive parents, the Kents. Mirror Master burns their Kansas house to the ground and traps the Kents inside a mirror, while Wonder Woman assembles the Justice League to inform them of the Kents' kidnapping and reaffirm her belief in the righteousness of Superman's quest.
You know, all the Kents did was take in a little orphan baby, and their house gets destroyed.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time. So that's why it's a good reason why Bruce Wayne is rich, because he just keeps rebuilding it. Now, Mirror Master admits to hiding the Kents in the vast salt flats of Bolivia. As Superman rescues his parents, Batman confronts the president and admonishes him for targeting innocents and giving the Justice League a reason to rally around Superman. Now, Superman enters the Batcave as Robin and Nightwing are sparring. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but I'm going to set you up right now for a future thing. Robin is Damian. Nightwing is Dick Grayson. Tim Drake Red Robin is in this universe. We'll get to him later.
Mm.
And Jason is presumably off somewhere as the Red Hood.
Yeah, I know a little bit about what happens with Robin and Nightwing.
Well, we're going to talk about it. The first time you see Robin and Nightwing in this thing is... Nightwing is teaching Robin about this move that you can do with an Inscrima stick of how you can throw it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you throw it just right, it knocks somebody unconscious. Nightwing is teaching him this move.
But Damian's more, he's an adult, right?
No. Damian is the age that he is now.
Oh, I thought he was a grown-up.
He's a grown-up in the video game 5 years later.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
So, okay.
Yeah. There we go.
He's 13.
Sure. So in 5 years, he'll be 18.
He'll be 18, and he's fully grown. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Yep. Superman confronts Batman about his disappearance during the manhunt for the Kents and insists that he's only doing what Batman would do if he had the powers of a Kryptonian.
That's not a lie.
Yep. Batman, in turn, chides Superman for resorting to murder, warning that once a horrible action is justified once, it becomes easy to justify again.
Mm-hmm.
A conflict with Atlantis erupts, and in retaliation, Superman raises Atlantis from the ocean floor and deposits it in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
What's the opposite of the ocean? The Sahara.
Aquaman relents while heroes like Green Lantern and Shazam begin showing their doubts about Superman's action, and Superman revokes Batman's access to all Justice League communicators. Then we get my biggest problem with the Injustice prequel comic book that they had to do to make a moment in the video game work. One of the chapters of the comic open with a flash forward as Batman stands over a dead body that isn't fully shown, stating, "My son is dead." Superman then publicly admits to killing the Joker for the first time and pledges to protect the innocent, not psychopaths like Two-Face. Batman and Nightwing quickly fly to Arkham Asylum in hopes of stopping Superman from targeting the rest of Gotham's incarcerated criminals, but when they arrive, they discover that Damian Wayne Robin has sided with Superman against them.
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. Damian Wayne berates Batman and Nightwing for standing with the criminals, and Batman retaliates by setting off a virus in Cyborg's system. But Nightwing, the voice of reason, stops it. Now, remember that moment where I said that earlier in the story, Nightwing was teaching Robin how to throw a screaming stick in the right way?
Uh-huh.
Well... Back to the battle. I just wanted to bring that up in your memory here. Back to the battle. Solomon Grundy attacks Robin, and Nightwing, Batman, and Superman rush to rescue Robin from Solomon Grundy. Superman softens up the monster by cutting off his hand and flying through his chest, while Batman blows up his head. Though unarmed, Robin is embarrassed at being caught off guard and bickers with Nightwing. And in a moment of anger, he throws an Inscrima stick at Nightwing's head, causing the hero to fall unconscious, and when he hits the ground, Dick Grayson's head lands on a rock, and it breaks his neck.
I knew, yeah. Damian's the worst.
Yes. Both Harley and the Justice League are horrified, and Batman carries Nightwing's body outside, once again lamenting that his son is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Catwoman comforts Batman, and they begin a relationship.
They've always had a relationship.
Well, this brings it on.
Do they have sexy times?
They do. Off panel, but they do. Batman and Catwoman arrive on a rooftop meeting with Commissioner Gordon, only to discover the President of the United States is waiting for them instead. The President reviews the many unilateral actions that Superman and the Justice League have taken in recent days, and both he and Batman agree that it's not Superman's place to forcibly end all worldwide wars and conflicts, and that the root of all these conflicts will still remain. Batman agrees to put together a team to stop Superman's team, and he and Catwoman implore the president to do a better job of trying to bring peace and equality to the world. We then cut back to the Batcave to reveal that Batman was one step ahead of the president, already put together a team of Green Arrow, Black Canary, Black Lightning, Aquaman, Batwoman, and Captain Atom.
I forgot about Black Lightning. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Black Lightning is a longtime member of Batman's Outsiders. He will always side with Batman.
Cool.
Yep. Superman, soon after that, Lex Luthor is soon discovered alive in the ruins of Metropolis. And unlike the regular DC universe, these versions of Superman and Luthor appear to be close friends. Luthor learns of the League's recent actions and professors his desire to help. And to prove he can be trusted, Luthor reveals that he has known all the League's respective secret identities for years and just decided to never take advantage of the knowledge. Then several things happen. Batman switches out Hot Girl with Martian Manhunter on Superman's Justice League.
Cool.
Kalibak attacks the whole world and Superman kills him. And amid the raining ashes of thousands of dead parademons, Lex Luthor proudly displays Superman as the savior of the world. Now, neither Superman nor Batman are very pleased with the outcome of this apocalyptic war, but Superman realizes that he and his handful of allies cannot protect the entire planet. So Lex Luthor suggests building a superhuman army to assist the Justice League. Meanwhile, Batman's team begins to fracture as Huntress and others voice newfound support for Superman, and to help restore their loyalty, Batman reveals his identity as Bruce Wayne to the group.
Wow.
Now, while locked away in the Fortress of Solitude with Martha and Jonathan Kent, Lex Luthor completes work on a drug that will turn ordinary humans into super soldiers. And Superman reveals his new super soldier pill to the rest of the Justice League. Damian steals a sample and returns to the Batcave for the first time since Nightwing's death. Though Alfred is happy to see him, Batman's like, get the hell out of here, man.
Yeah.
Their conversation quickly escalates to physical violence, and the now superpowered Damian, because he took the pill, accidentally sends Alfred flying into the Batcomputer.
Damian is the worst.
Yep. Superman soon learns about Hot Girl's switcheroo and decides to out Batman's identity. But before Superman can actually out Bruce, Batman initiates Protocol Icarus, shutting down all worldwide communication feeds and sending the Justice League Watchtower plummeting out of orbit. But thanks to Cyborg's abilities and Lex Luthor's smart, Superman is able to post the information on various social media feeds like Tumblr, and Batman and Alfred have no choice but to evacuate Wayne Manor and go into hiding. And Alfred reiterates his loyalty to Bruce as he writes his own name on the first of a checklist of important items that need to be removed from Wayne Manor. So it's like, number one, Alfred.
Is it really Tumblr, or is it a Tumblr analog?
It looks like a chat room.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah. Now, I was like, that'd be super funny if it was Tumblr.
Now, I want to ask you, now that the heroes have split up, do you agree with most of the characters standing with Superman and Batman? I'll remind you, Batman's team is Green Arrow, Black Canary, Black Lightning, Aquaman, Batwoman, and Captain Atom. And then basically Superman's is the rest of the Justice League.
I don't know really enough about Aquaman to know if that's accurate or not.
It's basically, Aquaman has set up that conflict where Superman, took Atlantis. That's what turned him.
Sure, but I mean, when I think about, like, you know, the history of his character, like, I don't know, is that a good choice? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like Black Lightning, like, you're like, oh, he was on the Outsider, so of course you're gonna put him on Batman's team. Like, I think that, and I think having Batwoman on a team is interesting. I think the Damian choice to ally with Superman is strange.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like Damian, so it doesn't matter to me one little bit. I think it's mostly accurate. Diana, I think, might waver a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's good that she's on Superman's team. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Soon after this, Superman kills John Jones, the Martian Manhunter.
No, but...
Yep.
But John's more powerful than him.
Batman reveals that Superman is manufacturing his super soldier drug within the Fortress of Solitude and wants Catwoman, Black Canary, and Captain Atom to accompany him to break into the fortress. Now, Batman requests the president to create a distraction so he can break in there. And the distraction the president makes turns out to be a U.S. naval blockade of North Korea. And after a brief argument, Green Arrow decides to join their infiltration group. Catwoman is able to unlock the front door of the fortress, and Batman is stunned to see Martha and Jonathan Kent standing inside. And he knows that Superman will react badly to any hint of attack to his parents.
Mm.
But before Superman soon sees through Batman's distraction and returns to the fortress in a rage before Batman's team can retreat. And Superman's actions trap Green Arrow inside the fortress as the rest of the team escapes. Knowing Superman will assume he means to kill the Kents, Green Arrow Oliver Queen struggles in vain to put up a resistance, and he ultimately decides to sacrifice himself, firing one last arrow out of the fortress with the sample of Luthor's super soldier pill for Batman to find. Ollie's last thoughts as Superman beats him to death are of Black Canary and his pretty bird, and Superman continues to pummel Green Arrow's corpse until Martha grabs his arm.
That's really sad.
It's actually an amazing death scene. Now, Batman begins analyzing the pill as a mysterious figure appears on his computer screen telling him to leave. Batman refuses, and moments later, Superman arrives. Batman is left with no choice but to stall him until the computer is finished with its analysis. And as Batman boasts that he removed every monster from Gotham except one, Batman, Bruce retorts by saying he won't give Clark what he's seeking. And Superman then breaks Batman's back, just as Bane did years before.
Mm.
And that is Injustice Year One.
Wow, that's pretty epic.
It is an insanely epic. Any other thoughts, Ashley? The first year, I think, actually is the best year.
It's
of the
dark,
book.
Man. Yeah. It's super dark.
Now, I'm going to synopsize a little bit more going forward, but just be prepared. This might be a little bit longer of a geek history lesson because there's so much cool Injustice stuff, and I just want to tell you it all anyways.
Sure.
Year two is what I like to call the Green Lantern year. And there's another moment in this that I'm not a fan of.
Okay.
Get ready, Ashley. You're going to get sad. We're all going to get sad out there.
Are you going to kill my Green Lantern boyfriend?
Who's your Green Lantern boyfriend?
Kyle.
Yes.
Tom Taylor. Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast,
Tom
yeah.
Tom Taylor. Why you got to do this to me?
It was basically because Kyle's not in the game.
Yeah.
So we have to explain why he's
not
there.
Why couldn't you kill Guy? Nobody likes him.
Get ready. Green Lantern Kyle Rayner is returning to Earth after a long mission in space. And his return is interrupted by Sinestro and several of his yellow lanterns. Sinestro informs Kyle that Earth has changed during his absence, and its heroes are emerging as potential allies to the Sinestro Corps. Before Kyle's ring can send a distress call, Sinestro rips off his finger and kills him.
That sucks.
It does suck. Batman and Alfred are revealed to be hiding in the Tower of Fate, courtesy of Zatanna, and Batman is still weak and suffering from the broken back that Superman inflicted him.
Do they punch the vertebrae back into place? Like
nope.
In the Christopher Nolan
nope.
universe?
He's basically in a wheelchair this entire year.
That's cool. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tom Taylor, friend of the podcast. Good move.
And if I remember right, I don't think he stands up till the very last issue or beginning of year three.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. The Guardians have convened on Oa, where Ganthet voices a concern about the events unfolding on Earth and Superman's fall from grace. Guy Gardner is called upon to investigate further as Sinestro arrives on Earth, and Superman immediately attacks the villain, nearly shattering the moon in the process. But Sinestro refuses to fight, instead warning Superman that the Guardians are coming to Earth, and then Guy Gardner and Ganthet show up on Earth. Ganthet demands that Hal takes him to Superman, and Superman tells Ganthet to leave his planet because, hey, under the Green Lantern's watch, Krypton blew up. So screw you, buddy, is basically what Superman says. Now, Ashley, I have to ask you.
I mean, that's not incorrect.
Well, I was going to say, do you think this is a fair accusation on Superman's part?
Do I think it's fair? Maybe not, but it's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an interesting, because I don't know how much the Green Lanterns are allowed to mess around with the internal politics of a world.
Oh, I don't know. They've never really said if they have like a prime directive like from Star Trek.
You know, yeah, because the problem with Krypton is internal. It has to do with their science and their government. It doesn't have to do with like a rogue meteor that Sodom Yat or someone could have caught isn't the reason why Krypton is destroyed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting moral gray area. But probably a great line in the comic. Mm-hmm.
Now, the Guardians summon numerous Green Lanterns back to Oa. And in Gotham, Superman and Lex Luthor insist that control of the city be ceded to their new army of stormtroopers, saying that Commissioner Gordon and his police are ill-equipped to defend the city. Gordon walks to Oracle's safe house, because Barbara Gordon is Oracle in this universe.
As she should be.
And asks to be let in. And he reveals that he knew his daughter was Batgirl from her first night on the job, and he's known Batman's identity for years.
Of course he has, because he's a great detective.
And then tells Barbara that he has lung cancer. He's too old for this crap. And I made that last part up.
I wish.
And accepting her father's offer of help, Barbara introduces him to the Birds of Prey.
That's nice. That's mm-hmm. nice.
Hal Jordan stands before the Guardians on Oa and defends Superman's actions. And he finds it ironic that the Guardians would take issue with the idea of Superman granting strength-boosting pills to his soldiers when the Guardians and their Green Lantern rings are no different. Kilowog tells Hal that he's being dispatched to Earth along with a contingent of Lanterns to bring Superman to justice. And Hal refuses to allow them to invade his home planet. But after putting up a strong resistance. Hal is knocked unconscious by Kilowog and his ring is removed, and then the Lanterns begin their journey to Earth.
Interesting.
Shazam, Superman, and Hawkgirl confront Kilowog's Green Lantern group in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Superman refuses
Kilowog. They love the Sahara.
Superman refuses Kilowog's demand to surrender, and from orbit, Cyborg activates the Watchtower's laser cannon. Now, the Lanterns are caught in the powerful blast, and realizing the battle is going poorly and taunted by Sinestro, Luther decides that he has no choice but to free his captive, Sinestro, who promptly flies to Earth.
Mm.
The battle reaches an abrupt end when Sinestro's yellow lanterns arrive as reinforcements for Superman's regime.
Oh, that's cool. That's a cool development.
Kilowog surrenders, but Sinestro insists that the lanterns must be permanently dealt with, lest they return to Oa and make more conflict. But Superman refuses to kill the Green Lanterns.
Mm.
The Guardians know with concern that Earth has disappeared from their sensors, and an injured Guy Gardner arrives on Oa, warning them that Superman has joined forces with Sinestro and that the Sinestro Corps are guarding all lanes to and from Earth. The Guardians then decide that nothing more can be done with Superman at the present, but they'll figure out a way to stop him.
I like that they refer to how you would travel to Earth as lanes, mm-hmm. as if space were not 3D and you could enter it from wherever you
want. It's kind of like hyperspace.
I get it, yeah, but yeah. I just think it's funny.
The story moves forward 7 months as Black Canary gives birth to her son, Connor.
Yes!
And laments,
correct!
Yep, and laments the fact that Oliver isn't alive to see him.
Aww.
Canary is visited in the hospital by Harley Quinn, who comes bearing presents because she's now on Batman's side,
yeah.
including a toy bow and arrow, a fake mustache, and a fake mustache,
mm-hmm.
and a muzzle for a dog. The two are interrupted when Canary's JLA communicator activates, and Guy Gardner announces that he's leading another army of Green Lanterns to attack Superman, including the living planet of Mogo.
That went so well the first time.
Well, now they have Mogo.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe reevaluate your strategy, Guy.
Well, we'll see. You might be surprised. Batman and Oracle...
Just Mogo squishing people.
Batman and Oracle discuss the impending battle, with Oracle relaying Guy Gardner's message that the ground assault should begin when the sky turns green.
Mm.
And in the Batcave, Alfred gives Canary a kryptonite bullet, and she promises to try to honor Batman's request not to kill Superman, but warns, hey, the guy with the best aim, he was killed by that guy.
Good line.
Yep.
Tom Taylor, good line.
Yeah. a quarter of the Sinestro Corps are wiped out immediately in the opening shot of Mogo's energy blast.
Oh, I wanted him to squish them.
Yep. And Commissioner Gordon leads a group of super-powered, pill-enhanced soldiers to the entrance of the JLA headquarters. Luther is subdued by Gordon and Harley Quinn, but then Luther reveals himself to be Batman's other spy in Superman's Justice League.
That's cool.
Ganthet strips Hal of his lantern ring, but Sinestro makes Hal a yellow lantern.
That's less cool.
Batwoman and Huntress use the confusion to steal a pair of experimental planes and fly away, and at the same time, Black Canary boards the Batplane. Batman, from his wheelchair, warns her that while the lead-lined hull will shield her from Superman's vision, Superman will likely assume the plane is carrying Batman and immediately try to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
As Superman is blasted down to Earth's surface by Ganthet, who has joined the conflict, he sees Canary's Batplane and destroys it. Canary survives the attack, leaping onto Superman and bombarding him with their sonic scream as the two crash into the ground, Canary using Superman as her cushion.
Wow.
Superman tries to once more reason with Dinah, and she rejects his claims of innocence, telling Superman that it's good Lois died before she could see what he became. Superman lashes out angrily, giving Canary a window of opportunity to shoot him in the chest with her kryptonite bullet. Weakened, Superman is powerless to resist as Canary gloats about sparing his life just as their victory seems assured. But a wayward Sinestro Corps ring sent by Savitar chooses Superman as its new host, and Superman uses the ring to remove the bullet and blast Canary with his heat vision.
Sent by Savitar?
Did I say Savitar?
Yeah.
I meant Sinestro.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
I'm bringing up so many S names. Excuse me.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Superman, Sinestro. I just wanted to clarify.
Superman's a yellow lantern.
Thanks
to Sinestro, and he just kill Black Canary.
Yeah.
As Black Canary lies dying, she reveals to Superman that she has been wearing contact lenses that recorded their entire encounter. And Superman's actions and tyrannical agenda have now just been broadcast to the entire world. Sinestro kills John Stewart as Hal Jordan kills Guy Gardner. And in an epilogue sequence, we see Dr. Fate arriving at the lifeless body of Black Canary, and he removes his helmet, being very sad. Dinah wakes up later in a remote cabin as Dr. Fate reveals that he cheated Fate by not allowing her to die. He's brought her to a parallel Earth where another Oliver Queen on a different Earth has lost his Dinah. And together with her baby, Connor, Dinah is free to start over with this new Oliver.
Oh, that's nice.
Though initially unsure of each other, mm-hmm. Oliver breaks the ice by calling Dinah Pretty Bird.
Yeah, he does.
And they immediately kiss.
That's sweet.
And that's year two of Injustice.
Hmm.
Year one and year two, I think, are the best, but I think every year is really good.
Okay.
All right, so now we're going to really synopses. Year three is what I like to call the magic year.
Okay.
Superman during the year just becomes the regular Superman here. He loses his Sinestro Corps ring.
Uh-huh.
And most of the year is Batman and John Constantine trying to form a magical team to take down Superman.
A quote, Justice League Dark.
Yes, they never call it that, but yes.
But more or less, yeah.
Dick Grayson becomes the new Dead Man of the DC Universe.
Oh, that's interesting. Uh-huh.
Superman teams up with Ares as Constantine tricks Trigon into attacking Superman.
Mm.
It is then revealed that Mixel Spitlick has been secretly helping Superman this entire time. Also during this year, Wonder Woman kills Huntress. And in a flashback, we learn that in year one of Injustice, the Titans, including Tim Drake Red Robin mm-hmm. and Connor Kent Superboy, were banished into the Phantom Zone by Superman.
No, Tim, no.
But there should be some hope there, because I will tell you this.
Well, they're not dead. He didn't pummel their faces in.
As of Injustice 2, unless there's something that happens in between the two video games, Tim Drake's still out there.
Good.
Okay. And that's basically the end of Injustice Year 3.
Great.
Now we're going to go to Injustice Year 4. I call this one...
Year Thor.
Year 4. Excuse me. I'm going to call this one the Year of the Gods.
Ah.
Now Superman has to face up to his actions from the gods himself. Barbara Gordon gets her legs back through Lex Luthor in his speciality. And Batman kidnaps Shazam during this year. As the Olympian gods order the Amazons to attack Superman's regime, we find out that it's all part of a deal that Ares made with Batman to create a war in the world, because there hasn't been many wars since Superman took over.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman calls for judgment by combat, and Superman will be the champion of her side, while Batman strategically chooses Wonder Woman for this champion of his side, forcing Wonder Woman and Superman to have a hard-ass fight.
Duh.
Wonder Woman wins the fight.
Nice.
But at the last second, Sinestro blasts her, saving Superman. A giant battle erupts, and Superman kills Hercules as the Atlanteans join the fight as well, and we learn that this entire battle is all one big play of Darkseid. And Highfather of the New Gods settles the giant battle, but at the very end, we see a quick scene of Plastic Man, who we haven't seen this entire mm-hmm. series, breaking into Superman's secret prison,
mm-hmm.
and freeing all of the Green Lanterns.
Interesting.
Yes. In just this year 5, this is the year that I like to call that all the characters now have their video game costumes. a bunch of villains join up with Superman's regime. Catwoman leaves Batman when she says that she's done with the fight and he'll never be. Superman makes Damian the new Nightwing, which actually lines him up for the reveal that happens in the game.
Yeah.
Victor Zsasz sneaks into the Batcave because he's working for Superman now, and he kills Alfred while trying to get Batman's location. Batman bests Superman after Alfred's death, but still will not kill him. Batman goes crazy after Alfred's death. And Flash zips Bruce away from the rest of the Justice League as Batman asks Barry Allen, please go back in time and change Superman so this never happens.
He's like, nah, bro, I only go back in time for my mom and my girlfriend.
That's probably exactly what he says. And then Lex Luthor decides to break free of Superman and team up with a bunch of villains that puts the whole video game into motion. And that's the end of year 5.
Wow.
And now we are finally at the video game. And I'm going to tell you specific plot points for the video game right now. Again, if there's been plenty of spoilers in this podcast, but if you don't want to know any Injustice 1, if you want to play it real quick before like Injustice 2 comes out, Injustice 2 is out, yo, then you might want to go away right now. But here we go.
Welcome back.
5 years into Superman's regime, the insurgency discovers a parallel universe where the Joker's plan failed, and they teleport that world's Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Green Arrow, and Green Lantern into their universe. Both Batman and the Joker are also inadvertently transported as well, but they're separated after an encounter with the alternate Superman's military forces. While searching for somewhere to recharge his power ring, Green Lantern Hal Jordan encounters the alternate version of himself who has joined the Sinestro Corps as a Yellow Lantern. Aquaman visits the archives of Atlantis, where he discovers how Superman has descended into tyranny, and upon discovering that Atlantis has agreed to complete subjugation under Superman, Aquaman confronts and defeats his alternate counterpart, along with defeating the alternate version of Flash and the Injustice version of Flash and the Injustice version of Shazam. Would that make it easier if I just call them Injustice versions?
Sure.
Okay. The alternate Ares sends Aquaman to rejoin the other heroes who have met with the Injustice Batman in Gotham City. Batman and Injustice Lex Luthor, who is not a criminal in this universe, explain that regular humans can be upgraded by taking a nanotech pill, we know about that,
made
from Kryptonian DNA, which makes them stronger. Now, the League had to be brought from another universe because the Injustice Green Arrow was killed, remember,
because
by Superman.
So many of them are dead.
While the other three obeyed Superman out of fear. Meanwhile, the Batman from the main universe pursues the Joker through Gotham, but Yellow Lantern, Injustice Lantern, and Injustice Hawkgirl mistake him for their own Batman and arrest them. Joker then reunites with Injustice Harley Quinn, who founded an underground organization called the Joker Clan in honor of his death.
That's cool.
And the insurgents sneak into Wayne Manor, where they fight the alternate Wonder Woman, Killer Frost, Solomon Grundy, and Black Adam. Mm. And they break into the Batcave to retrieve a kryptonite weapon.
Ooh.
Back in the Prime main universe, Superman attempts to recover his comrades with the help of Flash and Cyborg. However, their teleporter sends Cyborg to the Injustice Universe, where he joins the insurgency. He begrudgingly works with Deathstroke, who is working with the insurgency, to infiltrate the Hall of Justice and take control of the Watchtower's teleporter. Meanwhile, the rest of the insurgency stage a break-in on Stryker's Island to try to rescue main universe Batman. But the Injustice Superman attempts to destroy the Watchtower, but fails when Deathstroke overcharges his core, setting up a massive explosion as Luthor tries to use the kryptonite weapon to kill Injustice Superman. But Shazam stops him at the last moment. With the kryptonite weapon rendered useless, the insurgency decides to recruit the original Superman to stop the Injustice Superman. And when a large-scale battle between the regime and the insurgents erupts, Ares teleports Wonder Woman to Themyscira and reveals that Superman plans to have the Amazons invade Metropolis. After defeating the alternate versions of herself and Raven, Wonder Woman convinces the...
Ooh, Raven.
Yep, Raven's a player in this game. Convinces the Amazons... She's a bad person. Convinces the Amazons to help the insurgency. Meanwhile, both Batman teleport the main universe of Superman into the Injustice universe. And basically, this whole thing ends up with a giant fight between Superman and Superman.
I mean, how can you not?
Yes. The Injustice Batman eventually tells Superman that he hopes normal Superman never has to learn what he could be capable of if he turns evil, and warns him that if something ever happens to him, causing him to go down the path of his counterpart, Injustice Batman will come after him.
Mm.
Because main universe Superman, of course, wins.
Mm-hmm.
As they walk away, the final shot of the game shows a close-up of Injustice Superman in his Red Sun prison cell with his eyes glowing red, indicating that he has some degree of his powers. And that is where Injustice 2 begins.
Wow.
Although there is another digital series written by Tom Taylor
that
is taking place between Injustice 1 and Injustice 2.
Mm-hmm.
The length of time between the two video games, nobody's been quite clear about that.
That's fine.
I'm going to guess a year, maybe 2 years, but it doesn't know.
Yeah.
So
it might, in fact, tell you in the title card or, you know, the opening scene of Injustice 2.
Exactly. And at the time of this recording, I've only played some fights of Injustice 2.
Yeah.
I have not played the story mode.
And if you listen to our lessons, you know that we try not to spoil the current continuity of these stories. So there you go.
That is your Injustice Gods Among Us geek history lesson.
Wow.
Yep.
There was more narrative structure than I was honestly expecting.
Well,
so I'm going to give them credit. it.
I like the Injustice digital comics a lot. I had so much fun with the game. The Injustice Gods Among Us are like some of the best tie-in comic books of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's move into recommended reading.
Where Professor Jason is going to recommend a bunch of stuff that you can read or probably play. And if you want to get these and pretty much everything else, head on over to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. Little Amazon widget. You click it, you buy it, you check it out, and a little bit comes back to help us stage Mortal Kombat cell fights of our own here at the Mind University.
And you're going to want to go over to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading because every book on here is awesome. The first recommendation I'm going to have is Injustice Year One Complete.
Mm-hmm.
They released it in a trade paperback. It's the entire first year. It is great. I've kind of spoiled it for you, but it's awesome. There's so many fun little lines and fun little moments that I did not tell you about it. And because it's a digital comic, they tend to have more surprises because each single issue is made up of actually three digital issues. So there's a lot more twists.
Nice.
There's a lot more twists and turns and everything like that. So it's like every, like, I think like 6 or 7 pages, you're going to get like a whoa.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. My other recommendation is Year 2 Complete.
Mm-hmm.
They did the same thing. It's awesome. That's the Green Lantern year. As part of me kind of likes it maybe a little bit better than Year 1 because it's so many Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
And then as of now, they have not printed Year 3 in one volume, but Year 3 is in three separate volumes. There's a Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3. I'm putting Year 3, Volume 1 right here.
Sure.
And remember, that's the big magical year. That's where, and I didn't go into all the details there, what Batman and Constantine get up to is very interesting in
nice.
That book. All right, so let's move into our discussion.
Where we're going to discuss stuff.
All right, now we're going to try something different here because if you know, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/Jawin. And if you are any level of Patreon over there, we're going to start this thing where we're going to start telling you what our topics are coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to ask you for discussion questions.
Yay!
So these discussion questions, first ever, come from our Patreon at patreon.com/Jawin. Something that's only available to our Patreons.
Yeah!
And we thank you guys for your support, and you guys got some great questions here.
Thank you so much, yeah, to everyone who supports us over there mm-hmm. and who is clicking over there to do so right now.
All right, first question comes from Sean Yount. I hope I'm saying that right. Yount.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your support. His question is, do you think the DC Cinematic Universe will use aspects of the Injustice series? Now, Ashley, I'm very curious about this because if you think about it, Flash's movie costume in Justice League looks a lot like
the
Injustice costume.
Yeah, it does. I don't know if they're going to do anything like directly lifting storylines, but one of the strongest aspects of the Injustice brand is the design and is the visual.
Yeah.
So even if it's just that, I think there's definite... I mean, if we can pick it out with the Flash, like there's definite inspiration to be taken there. And why not? If it's a great costume, then copy it. Like, you know, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with Batman. Like, we finally got the comic book Batman costume, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it took us like 20 years of Batman movies to get there.
Yeah, but whatever. I think that if the cinematic universe was going to do a Supergirl, this could be an interesting way to differentiate her storyline from the show. Would be to kind of take some nods from what's been happening with her in Injustice mm-hmm. and what seems to be seeded for the future. So yeah, maybe, I guess, is where I come down on that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think they'll ever do the Superman Goes Crazy storyline.
No, but you might get an animated movie out of that.
Sure.
Adapted for the comics.
Well, I don't know if they'll do an animated movie simply because the video game has cinematics.
Oh, sure. That's true. Somebody on YouTube will cut together all the cinematics.
Somebody already has.
I'm sure. And we can watch them that way.
All right. The next question comes from Katie Campbell, one of our awesome patrons. She says, can you discuss Batman's philosophy/rules regarding not killing, considering he even loses the two most important people in his life in Injustice, Dick and Alfred? For reference, there's a scene in Year 5 when he and Damian face off after Alfred's death, and Bruce admits that he still won't kill. Okay, she's referring to that scene that I talked about in Year 5, where after Alfred's death, Batman tried to fight Superman, and no matter what, he still would not kill Superman. Okay, now how do you feel about this, Ashley? Again, it's very true, and one could consider that maybe he's lost all the important people in his life if Tim Drake is in the Phantom Zone and Damian is working with Superman?
Yeah, that's a tough question. Batman's a character, you know, who's existed for almost 80 years. So his ethical code about killing and guns and all that difficult stuff has sort of fluctuated a lot. I feel like the no killing thing is sort of an adaptation of the modern era. or like, you know, the 1980s onward. But I think, you know, not killing Superman really comes down to they used to be friends, and Batman thinks that good guys can be redeemed. I guess he thinks bad guys can be redeemed too, because he won't kill characters like Two-Face and the Joker. But I think that's more of a personal decision based on their past relationship than anything else.
I think that this is the reason why I think Tom doesn't have Batman kill in this storyline is simply because we are watching Superman invalidate all of his philosophy, all of his rules, and Batman is holding to his. Because, like, yeah, what is the one thing you know about Batman? He doesn't kill. Mm-hmm. He really doesn't kill, and, like, he holds to it. There's, like, one story, is Final Crisis, where Grant Morrison's like, oh, hey, I'm going to break my one rule, and I'll give it to him because he's killing Darkseid, and still he didn't kill him. Black Flash killed him, but that's beside the point. Black Racer killed him. But I think that's the idea of this, is that showing that no matter what, Batman will not break his code, and that this is the story where, like, Superman basically breaks everything of his code.
Mm.
So there you go. Awesome Patreon Nicholas Byers asked, if you had to choose someone in the DC universe other than Superman to go crazy and take over the world, who would it be? Ashley, any thoughts on this?
That's a tough question, because I don't want any character I like to go crazy and take over the world. I mean, I guess Damian, because I don't think very highly of him, so you might as well just make him a bad guy and have him go full Ra's al Ghul, and then do a storyline about him embracing that side of his family and Batman being upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a hard question. I don't know. How about you?
I don't have any strong choices on this. The only ones that come to mind are ones that have kind of, like, Hal Jordan kind of went crazy and tried to rewrite the universe.
He destroyed a city.
Cyborg Superman destroyed that city. But Hal Jordan tried to rewrite all of reality.
Mm-hmm.
My other thought is like, maybe there you could do some story down the line where Martian Manhunter got manipulated and tried to do it because he's as strong as Superman.
Isn't he dead?
I'm talking about in any universe, not specifically the Injustice universe.
Oh.
You know, because this is the idea, like, we're philosophizing outside of this universe. So I don't know. You could maybe do a storyline where Martian Manhunter gets taken over because he'd be as powerful as Superman. I don't know. It's tough because I don't really see a lot of the DC heroes, if they went crazy, not being able to be shut down really quick.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. Let's move into the teaching tweet,
where in 140 characters or less, Professor Jason is going to sum up everything he just taught us about Injustice.
Injustice. Superman goes bonkers and Batman gets beaten. Plus a whole bunch of villains. What more do you need from a video game?
And look out for that. That'll be on our Twitter, GHL Podcast, the week of this episode.
All right. That is it for the Injustice episode of Geek History Lesson. Guys, go out there and play Injustice 2. Play Injustice 1. It's available, too. And don't forget, while you're out there, to download this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, all other kinds of places. And when you're over there on iTunes, we ask that you leave us a review, because helping us with the review lets other people know that this is a cool podcast, especially if you enjoy it. And we have an iTunes review here from Rodimus Prime 085. Where have you been all my life? As a child, my father always pushed me to grow up and not enjoy cartoons or comics because they are for children. Because of this, my knowledge of superheroes and other nerddom is severely lacking. And my truest love of what GHL does is how they present the backstories for many of the heroes I've grown up to love as an adult, despite my father's warnings. Keep up the great work, and can't wait for class to be in session again.
Aw, that's so nice.
All right, cool. Ashley, where can they suggest future episodes of Geek History Lesson?
You can suggest future episodes on our Twitter, again, at GHL Podcast, and Facebook.com/Geek History Lesson. Those are the best places to get in touch with us on the internet.
Yes, and as always, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at GHL Podcast for Geek History Lesson, at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N for me, and at Ashley V. Robinson for Ashley. That's it. I'm Jason the Regime Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson, and Professor Jason, would you please dismiss the class?
Game over.